Welcome to GovIT, a new monthly podcast series from DLT, where we will discuss the next generation of public sector IT solutions with the technology innovators driving the change. I'm your host, Tom Temin. Each month, we explore a different technology, what it is, and how it can help public sector organizations achieve their modernization goals and accomplish their missions. This week, we're sitting down with BMC Software's John Powers to discuss security operations, or SecOps, for the public sector. John, it's good to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about SecOps. First of all, I guess we should begin with the beginning. And what is exactly SecOps?
Perfect question to start with. What exactly is it? Generally, SecOps is at a very high level. It's how security and operations work together. As a matter of best practices, security and operations are really two different parts of the IT organization, almost completely different swim lanes altogether. And therein lies kind of the challenge when we talk about the impact of some of the challenges we have today within SecOps is because they're so different. And operations doesn't necessarily own security. Security doesn't own operations. So when you look at creating a general sense of awareness around security operations, that's really one of the biggest challenges, right, that face it in creating kind of a groundswell and awareness of it. So that gap that I'm talking about is really created ultimately what is a lag in vulnerability remediation. And obviously that favors the bad guys.
And does physical security or facilities come into this, or is it strictly the cyber IT realm?
I think as we're looking at security operations, it's largely, as we talk about it, it's largely the IT realm.
So for the public sector, what are some of the features a SecOps situation or solution would look like? What would they see?
Yeah, so there are a number of features. Oftentimes when you start talking about security operations or cybersecurity in general, we're often defaulting to some of the traditional conversations around scanning, patching type of dialogue, which oftentimes is usually a very reactive approach to intrusion or threat detection. So when you look at some of the features of what that offering, you know, is, and it's a clear understanding of what is it you should be safeguarding. To your question a minute ago about, as we look at this, is this physical or IT? And really, we're talking about the IT organizations. What is it that we're trying to safeguard here? Who are we trying to keep out? The next piece is native integrations to scanning tools. So what are we talking about here? We're really addressing the ability to identify potential threats, prioritize those threats, and automate remediation. Next is smart patching for remediation of threats with compliance content. So again, I mean, looking at a very proactive way of IDing potential exposures on the devices across the network that includes both physical and application mapping, those kind of things, prioritizing and applying patches against them. And then finally, as we look at a configuration and closed loop compliance. So there are two pieces to that. One is what I just kind of mentioned briefly was a clear relationship map to be able to quickly ID, and in doing and in developing that map is assess impact analysis. So for example, bringing down a server, okay, what are all the things tied to this server or this switch? What kind of impact is that going to have across my organization? To be able to, you know, obviously you can't take down everything within your organization at once, but being able to look across that at both a network and application layer standpoint. And the second piece of that is the automation of it. So what does that really mean? Certainly the identification that we just talked about, then assessment and prioritization of it, launching any necessary approval processes, and that should also an automated process, driving through completed SLAs that may consider, you know, a CAB or a change advisory board, and then the execution of it and the logging of it. So you've got an entire process there, closed loop compliance of cradle to grave and a historical view of it.
It sounds like full visibility of all your IT assets is a foundational part of all this.
That's it. I mean, if you look at it in terms of, hey, we're building a citadel, so to speak, or something to keep folks out, is very foundational aspect of that. I mean, you've got your foundation, you've got your plumbing, you've got your framing, and that is foundational to any really security operations strategy.
And visibility is a little bit more of a challenge, I would think, in this pandemic age of mass telework when everyone is using devices that may or may not be government supplied.
That's right. I mean, we're the perfect segue into what I was just going to state, which is, you know, there are many organizations we're working with today that when you start to look at their network, it's not actually defining what's on your network, but actually what is your network. And what you'll find is what often organizations find is, hey, I've got all these other devices sitting out here on my network that I had no idea were out there. So it's extending that footprint, and oftentimes pretty considerably.
So what are some of the benefits that federal agencies can get, both in terms of actually better security, but also the big burden they have of compliance and reporting and being able to verify that they're on top of their own IT assets and networks?
You know, some of the benefits are, I mean, as we look at it, are fairly obvious. We look at cost and risk mitigation. Certainly maintaining something is much less costly than building or remediating something. So when you look at those type of operations, doing something in a very reactive fashion from a cost standpoint, not just from a financial, but also from an operational and human capital and those kind of things that would have to be dedicated to fix something, those can be fairly substantial. You know, the other side of it too is, quite frankly, and we've seen it on the private sector pretty significantly, and even within the federal space, is, you know, federal governments are prime targets. So they want to avoid that PR hit in a big way, that restore confidence and those kind of things. So because it's the federal government, and, you know, here in the U.S., it's a prime target for overseas hackers and otherwise, right? So the next is obviously reducing the overall attack surface of the places to hack. I mean, there's just fewer places to go attack. When you consider the fact, and this is a statistic that really hasn't changed very much over the last number of years, is 80% plus of the known hacks are through known vulnerabilities. These are things that are out there today that where intrusions occur, these are known vulnerabilities. So that, when we talked a little bit about the lag and that security and operations working together, that's ultimately what we're up against is, okay, if I take this down, what happens? I don't know. Well, we shouldn't do it. And it turns into snowballs. The other piece of that is a clear relationship view of the dependencies of the network. Where do those relationships sit? And that's to your previous question around, you know, what's on the network and those kind of things. That's certainly at the start of it, but then what are the relationships? What's tied to what at both a network and an application layer standpoint? So, you know, when you approach, whether it's a network switch or a certain application and you've got to take that down, well, okay, here's going to be the impact to service. You know, you certainly can't take down everything at once, but prioritizing those things or safeguarding it in a way that it doesn't, you know, mitigate service, but also protects you. And then mitigating, if not eliminating, the firefighting. When we look at a lot of our organizations that we work today, is we're largely plugging holes. We're, okay, this is, the fire's burning hot over here. We're going over here. Is it realistic to probably achieve a zero footprint attack surface? Maybe not. We always look at this, the hackers seem to be one step ahead of us. But is that realistic? Maybe not. However, through automation and prioritization, organizations can certainly put an end to some of the costly and operationally taxing situations that many of them are in today.
And the term SecOps brings together two words, co-joins them, and they each represent the security operations center on one side and the IT or network operations center on the other side. Does it bring the two organizations closer, and how does it change the jobs and work of the people that are doing all of this?
It really should, right? As you know, I was we were having some conversations with a couple of CISOs on both the CIV and the as well as on the DoD side, and they continue to stress the importance of awareness down to every single employee level. So to your question back to, does it bring those two entities together? It has to, because that awareness is cannot just exist within the security team. It's got to exist across networks, applications, and the like.
And what about BMC? How do you help agencies get to this SecOps view of their operations or this approach?
Yeah, so as we were talking a little bit about before, you know, our approach to this is very foundational. When you look at some of the traditional, whether it's scanning or cybersecurity, we'll integrate natively with a number of those and that kind of thing. But as we look at our foundational aspects of, you know, starting with blind spot detection, BMC discovery and client management, network and application relationship mapping. It's going to go out, it's going to find everything, it's going to identify the extent of your network, what that looks like. And then, you know, when organizations a lot of times are looking to build out a federated CMDB, building that out and that those relationships are key to building out a CMDB to really identify impact analysis and those kind of things as it pertains to some of the other operational aspects. Then TruSight automation for servers and networks. This is the smart patching, configuration management, policy services. You know, we look at a lot of organizations that we work with today. You know, let's say they've got 50,000 servers. Of that, they may have a disparity of 20 to 30% have completely different images across that server base. That makes it extremely difficult to manage. So we solve for a lot of that with the policy service, TruSight vulnerability management. What this does is this brings those things together. This is, think of it in terms of KPI dashboarding, prioritizing vulnerabilities so that you can take automated remediation action. So many times when there's an outage or something, it's usually whether it's network, whether it's, you know, operations, whether it's security, everybody gets in a room and kind of points a finger at each other and says, what'd you do? So when we look at automating a lot of these things, this is a dashboarding view of being able to really kind of take these things and make educated decisions.
Any other thoughts on BMC and how you can help government agencies get to this model?
Yeah, so, you know, I think when we've talked a little bit about it, it really does start with a culture of awareness. This can't be a CISO thing. It can't be a security thing. It really has to be an everyone thing. As we're talking with a lot of the agencies, I do think one of the things that's encouraging is so many of the CISOs, as well as the C-level and SESs, are moving in that direction. They realize that can't be a, for lack of a better word, a combative relationship. It's got to be a synergistic one. The next is automation has got to be the goal. We're not going to throwing more bodies at it and human capital. That's not, you know, that's not going to be something that scales, number one. And number two, it's, you know, it's kind of definition of insanity. We're doing, you know, kind of doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But a lot of the current manual and you know, like, for lack of a better word, reactive processes are going to continue to fail. And as I said, you know, they just don't scale. And then finally, the importance of a platform tool set that can work together with complementary technologies are really important and critical. When, you know, is it realistic that you're going to be able to go to one OEM or one vendor and say, all right, hey, let's build out a SecOps strategy and that kind of thing? Potentially building out a plan, yes, but you're going to have some ancillary technologies there. The importance of that platform, however, is critical. If you've got 30 different technologies sitting out there as part of your SecOps strategy, that's going to be a tough one to manage when you look at managing upgrade risks and those kind of things. So the importance of platform is important. It minimizes upgrade risk, increases the automation potential, and ultimately lowers the attack surface.
John Powers is Vice President of U.S. and Federal Sales at BMC Software. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate having me for a few minutes here today.
For more on how BMC Software and DLT are securing operations for public sector organizations, visit DLT.com. You've been listening to GovIT from DLT. We'll be back next month with more. I'm Tom Temin.